is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pool List. My name is Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hello, buddy.
Long time no talk. How have you been?
Too fast, too furious.
It hasn't been a long time for Simon and I speaking, but it's been a long time since you've probably heard our voice. And this, we're not back yet. We actually won't be back until a few more weeks with our regularly scheduled programming, short but sweet story on what's going on. I wanted to get ahead of schedule to ease up on some of the editing. So I'm not, you know, we're not having to do an episode, then edit, and then put it out all in the same, you know, couple of days. So this gives us time to actually have everything scheduled so we can spend more time promoting the episodes, what people love so much on the internet. People promoting stuff and, you know, just life. I had some pretty hectic school scheduling going on this year. So we're just taking a little buffer, but we're back for a special episode, really just to give you that update and to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
A very special episode.
Very special episode.
We're going to talk to you about doing drugs.
Yeah, it's the Guardians of the Galaxy Wednesday Pull List review special. It's technically, we're technically part of the MCU at this point. I had no aspirations of doing a review. We haven't done like a movie or show review in a while, but we both saw it and I thought we might have different opinions on it, so it could be interesting. And we just went radio silent on everybody, so I kind of wanted to give an update on where we're at and when we would be back. Before we jump right in, spoilers, because we always forget to say it until until halfway through. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it and then load this up for your drive home.
Yeah. Load it up for your drive home.
I want to know, let's talk about the movie a little bit. Your history with the franchise, the trilogy, where you at? Where were you at going into the movie?
Well, I haven't rewatched any of the older movies in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, last time I saw them was with the Christmas special thing, but Guardians of the Galaxy has been my favorite Marvel property from the get-go, honestly. I mean, I really love Captain America, but Guardians of the Galaxy to me is really quirky, and I feel like it gets away with things that the other Marvel movies can't get away with. Mm-hmm. And James Gunn said it himself that he really wanted to create like a Star Wars, like he was inspired by Star Wars, and so he really wanted to create like a space opera-esque type movie. And I don't know, I've enjoyed all of them. I haven't had a lot of issues with any of them. But I find it kind of interesting. I was thinking about this, like, you know, we always talk about what's the most solid trilogy in the MCU, like Iron Man, Captain America, whatever, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I think it might be Guardians of the Galaxy. But then I thought about it. I'm like, there's a lot of plot points that happen in like Infinity War and Endgame and all this other stuff that aren't in the mainline movie. So I don't know if that's a true statement, but at any rate, it has been my favorite property to this point.
Yeah. It had a lot of buffer. It's interesting that you brought that up, because with movies like these that have sort of a long window between the second one and the third one. And so a lot of times we'll sit down as a family and we'll watch all of them. And I was like, we got to watch all the other two Guardians movies to, you know, just make sure we know what's going on. But then I was like, well, we also have to watch Infinity War and Endgame and the Christmas special and very briefly a little bit of Thor. And so we didn't watch any of those. So I was like, I'm not, never mind. I'm not watching any of them.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there could have been a, I don't know, some kind of like update trailer to the movies. I feel like that should be something that happens.
Yeah, Star Wars has the beginning rolling paragraph update.
Yeah, I don't know
that. They should have just put that in there.
But just pure exposition. Telling the story.
They just do it sideways.
Yeah.
Left to right, instead up and down. But they could have done just like
one long sentence. Sorry. It's just one single sentence.
What would have worked? What would have worked for me is not necessarily a Disney special. You know how they do the behind the scenes or the making of movie like specials on there? There could have been like a Guardians recap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That hit like all the plot points. Like
YouTube or something. Yeah, some kind of plot point thing. But that being said, I still feel like, I mean, God, there's some really important plot points that if you haven't seen at least Infinity War, Infinity War and Endgame, they're just assuming that you've seen all those. And the Christmas special for minor major, it was like a throwaway thing, and it just now it's like a major plot point, but not really.
Yeah, yeah, but not really. That seems like the whole movie for me. Don't want to get too much into it, but it was a lot of major minor moments.
Yeah. So what did you think going in with this one in particular?
I was a little worried. It was weird because I'm extremely excited about a lot of movies coming out, mainly, you know, Into the Spider-Verse. I think that's sort of in its own realm, though, when you compare it to like comic book movies. Maybe not so much Flash. I'm still interested to see parts of that. But with Guardians, I don't know. I'm not saying I wasn't excited. I love these characters and sort of the universe. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I love, like you said, the space opera aspect. And I love the first one. It's one of my favorite MCU movies, without a doubt. It's not even close. A lot of the MCU doesn't compare to the first Guardians movie. Mm-hmm. The second one I didn't like as much as the first one. It was okay, and so I was a little worried about this one because there was a too much for me. There was a lot of on the nose humor, like certain aspects of it. I love most of it, but there's just one or two scenes I was just like, I really hope they don't double down on it in the third one, which they didn't really do in the Christmas special, even though it was campy and corny. So I was excited enough, if you can't tell, but I was going into it.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, I'll pay for a ticket, I guess.
It was for sure a movie that I was going to see as soon as I could, because I do love that franchise. And I was interested to see if they were going to go on the same sort of track that they have been doing with the MCU movies and shows since like right before Infinity War, where everything has to be connected. Everything has to be referencing something or teasing something. I didn't want that. That was another one of my worries. So I was interested to see what they were going to do. That was really what it was. I was interested.
Yeah, man. I was just like, seeing the previews and stuff, I was like, fuck, waiting for the big moment, you know, what was going to happen, what was going to happen. But honestly, all in all, the movie, I loved it. And I can look over little flaw things, you know, but I just really liked it because I've been screaming this from the rooftops. Unlike so many of the other MCU movies where just a set piece. There's very few that have this little thing called character development. And Guardians, I feel like all these characters have grown. They're not being the same. Like, I don't know. There's just so many. It's like they just don't have anything. They don't have any emotion. They don't have anything. I think Black Panther, both of those have really great villains, great characters, motivations, character development. You know what I mean?
Love and Thunder had the opportunity for that, and they tried to give him a little character development. It was just executed in a terrible way. But it had the chance to do that, though.
I thought about that, and I thought about this movie versus that movie, and I'm like, honestly, if Love and Thunder were done in the same way that Guardians was, it would have been, God,
yeah,
on the opposite end, it would have been good, you know.
Yeah, it would have been one of the best movies they made.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, if they gave Christian, because Christian Bale is as talented, I'm not even going to say more talented or less talented, but as talented as, I'm not even going to try to say his name, the guy that played the High Evolutionary, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he was given the same opportunity, I mean, he blew, I will say that before we get into like talking about the movie, things we liked, things we didn't like, blew it away.
Yeah. He was really good at playing, because not psychotic. I mean, he was, but he was a sociopath. He's like a
sociopath, yeah.
So like, he really did think that he was doing a good thing, and he didn't care about, but he didn't care about anything that he was creating. It's just on to the best. And it's just funny that he's just a guy. He's just, there's nothing special about him. Why is he, you know, you know, that's one of the major plot points, is like, how did he create something that bested him?
Yeah. He's like the Wizard of Oz. He was like the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. So he's sitting there trying to figure out, he wants to learn kind of how to better himself. But there are some, for me, I've been thinking about this movie constantly. I was like listening to the soundtrack, kind of tearing up at work.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's do a quick plot summary. Essentially, like I said, spoilers in case you haven't seen it, but this movie, I had no idea what direction it was going to go in, because I think the trailer did a really good job at misdirection. Sometimes it's annoying because they try to make you think one thing is going to happen, but this one, it just wanted you to go into the movie having no idea, and it did a really good job at that.
Yeah. And also, it did a good job at that without doing scenes that weren't in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So I really had no idea how this movie is going to go, because it starts out sort of with the same vibe as the Christmas special. So I was like, oh man, this is going to be a slog. Yeah. Like now they got to deal with drunk Pete, and we're going to go through that. And it's just like, I don't know, man, this is going to suck. This is, I don't want to go through all this. Yeah. And it just hits the ground running and then doesn't stop really. And essentially we get Adam Warlock shows up and pretty much almost kills Rocket. And the movie is about the team trying to save Rocket's life, while at the same time, we're getting the origin story of Rocket, which is a tearjerker.
The main reason that they can't immediately revive him, because they have these med packs that just like, they're magic, is because he had...
that was a little much. I was like...
I mean, fuck it, space.
Whatever. You need it. Yeah, you need it.
But he has like a patent tamper system on his heart. So like, they try to use these things and they short circuit and they fuck him up. Yeah, man, Adam Warlock came in like crazy. And that's one of those moments where I'm like, well, if you didn't stay for the after credit scene, you might not know who the hell that is. And they don't explain it. But at the same time, I'm like, I mean, if you've seen the second one and you remember that there were golden skinned people, you can probably assume.
Yeah, and she's in it, even though she looks crazy. She's the lady from the second one's in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really like how they tie all that together. It's pretty crazy.
I did. I don't want to get into things that I don't like yet, but Adam Warlock is one of the weak parts of the movie to me, only because he's like an end credit. This is what Adam's coming. And it was just kind of like, James Gunn's leaving, so he was going to do Adam Warlock, so you got to put him in this movie, because it was like his thing. So they kind of like shoehorned it in there. And I'm not saying they did it bad. I think it worked. I just think it was weaker than it could have been.
I think the main issue with that is that they just filled Thor's spot with Adam Warlock.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
He's dumb, the same character.
Dumb, super strong.
Yeah. But they're like, well, Thor's not going to be in any of these fucking movies anymore, so I guess we'll use Adam more.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was easily interchangeable, too. Maybe, you know, because it kind of makes sense. Why else would they put Thor in Guardians only for him to be immediately kicked out, not kicked out, but immediately taken out of the Guardians in the following movie? So maybe that is what it was. And maybe they're like, well, we can just slot him into this.
Though I do like the way they explain it. One thing I'll say is for everything that you're like, well, I feel like the script does a good job of just like one line. It's like the thank you for smoking line. It's like, well, we'll just say good thing we have this like flame proof oxygen. But in his thing, it's like he was taken out of the cocoon too early, and that's why he's stupid.
Yeah, perfect. I agree. And that's why I say I don't think it was done bad. For me, it's just like a nitpick.
I have another friend that's like way into the comics, and he kind of sometimes he'll compare too much to MCU, which is its own thing. You can't even compare.
I stopped doing that a long time ago because it's just you spiral into it.
Well, he was like, Adam Warlock's one of my, you know, I like that character a lot. And I heard that they did him dirty. And I was like, well, if you like that character in the comic books, you probably aren't going to like the MCU version.
Yeah. He was, you know, I really liked the way they did him in the game.
Yeah.
He looked stupid, but he was good in the game. They kind of made him this ultra powerful character that was sort of hindered.
You know, I think that, and I think that this movie really took something from that game. I feel like it took some. I don't know. It felt like the video game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it had a lot of the especially with the dynamic between the team, felt very similar, more similar than the second one.
Yeah. So yeah, these flashbacks that we get of Rocket. Oh God. Okay. So I'm a huge animal lover. So the idea of like lab tested animals really bothered me. I love hamburgers. Okay, I'm not saying that they're all safe. I'm just saying.
Is that the slurping on a McDonald's? Large McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm slurping on a McBurger. Yeah, I got them blended up.
McNugget shake.
So, but I mean, they pick these cute ass animals, like a rabbit, a raccoon, which is one of my, I just love raccoons, otter, and walrus. And I'm like, God. And what's weird is like, so we get this. You know, the beginning credits is basically Rocket being pulled out of this little enclosure, which, fuck, there's a little baby. Come on. Anyway,
it was intense.
He gets experimented on and improved and implants and all this. And I find it crazy because High Evolutionary is trying to like make a perfect, he's trying to make a utopia, perfect being. And What I do find funny is like he puts these rusty ass parts on these raccoons and like these tractor tires on a, so like to me that body horror aspect was a little much, especially with like the rabbit. He cuts the rabbit's legs off. You don't see all this. You just see the rabbit with no hind legs and like metal spider webs, like the doll from Sid's room. And that kind of shit bothered me more than it probably should have, because like obviously, and like the otter doesn't have arms, it's got these little flappy robotic arms.
Yeah,
but you know, that's a lot. That was a lot. And then Rocket like speaks and he's like, it hurts, and it's like fucking terrible.
Yeah, I
hated that part.
When I watched it, I was like, oh man, Simon's gonna love this.
Yeah, it was just, and I mean, I don't, it makes you not like the High Evolutionary, right? And it makes you feel for Rocket, for all the shit that he's gone through. Even watching the first one again, he was like, I never asked to be made, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, sure. I really feel, you know, I feel for him.
Yeah, it was a full circle. Like, you talked about character development. Holy crap. And I didn't expect to have, you know, Rocket Raccoon's one of those characters. He's always been around. Not, don't really, even in the comic books. Yes, he has character growth in different aspects of the comic books. But he's just kind of there. He's kind of a character in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, he's a raccoon.
And this, I mean, really stepped it up. And I'm not as much as an animal person as Simon, but if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know that I don't like anything being tortured or anything like that. So it was hard for me to watch a lot of that too. And it's not like over the top, grotesque, Saw style movie. You know what I mean?
It's but like Saw without all the bad parts. Like if saw somebody with a cage on their face.
Yeah, like it's left to your imagination, which is almost kind of worse.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Please continue.
I think this movie did a really good job. Like you said, you're starting to really despise this villain, the High Evolutionary. But then it walks it back and you kind of get a tender moment, what you think is a tender moment between him and Rocket. And you're like, well, maybe he's not that bad. Maybe he'll learn to change because of his relationship with Rocket. And then it just does it. The arc of him being a sociopath and going back and forth and taking you on those highs and lows with the characters was really, really good.
Yeah, he only cares that Rocket is meeting the ends that he wants, or like being a good experiment. And he seems like he's raising a child, but he's like, no, he's still a raccoon. I don't care about this raccoon. Yeah. I care that he learns the thing that he needs to learn.
And then he gets pissed when he figures something out that he couldn't figure out.
Yeah,
that walks in hard. Like a drunk. He walks in like a drunk parent. About to abuse a kid. I was just like, man, this is hard to watch. I don't know if this is like my own personal trauma stuff kicked up. No,
that like, right there was definitely personal trauma. I was like, God, I don't know about this.
Say, I was like, oh man, I need to go call my therapist when I get out of this movie.
I was like, I don't know if I can go to work tomorrow. But I think what made it particularly tough with these is that, you know, he makes friends with these other animals. He's caged up with the rabbit, the otter, and Tief's, the walrus, are caged up together. And they're like playing with one another and they're becoming like really good friends, but they're still separated and they can't get outside. And it seems like none of the rest of them are actually, they're just there. They're just stored. Rocket's the only one that's seeing actual experimentation, other than like they did some shit to these animals to see what they could do. And then they've kind of left them. So Rocket's having an opportunity to go out and see the sky and like, you know, learn more about the world that they're on. And so he's reporting back to these other animals. And that, to me, that was probably the hardest part. Cause I'm like, fuck you, James Gunn. I know what you're doing. I know what you're about to do.
Yeah. Same. It didn't make it any easier, man. It actually made it worse. We could talk about the Rocket side of it all day there, but there's this something that this movie had going on that I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. It had a lot of characters and a lot of story beats. Mm-hmm. So we get Drax, Mantis, and Nebula sort of riff was the most minor story in it. But you had the Star-Lord and Gamora reconnecting-esque story, which I actually ended up loving how that ended up.
Yeah.
It hinted a few times that Nebula and Star-Lord, I thought that they were going to force that.
I'm glad they didn't. Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't, though. But it was funny to watch them force it and sort of take the audience there. There was just a lot of stories going on, man. Rocky was in it.
Yeah. I think.
He had too many lines.
Yeah, way too many lines. I think with like Nebula and the story doesn't bother me so much because Nebula has been like that in every movie.
And I just hate her Batman voice.
Yeah.
They need to just talk like this.
Yeah. And then it's funny how much they've all changed in 10 years, by the way. I'm watching the first one again, I'm like, Batista is still a big dude and obviously still ripped, but it's looking a little chunky compared to like Guardians 1. He's
wearing more clothes now.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I'm not hating. I know he's a little older. And I also was like, that fool got lip filler.
Yeah. Maybe he looked at the old movies too.
He had to. He got some DSLs going on now. But anyway, yeah, those have been there the whole time, especially Mantis and Drax. You know, those were there in the Christmas special. It's there. They have like this sibling thing. And so to me, I didn't even really pay attention to that. It didn't, it was so, it was like a stressful argument. You know what I mean? Like an argument, like you're pissed off about something and you argue with your spouse and then you're like, I'm sorry. I was just stressed about this thing.
Yeah.
So to me, those are no big deal.
What did you think about Star-Lord and Gamora? They're reconnecting. Star-Lord, period, in this movie. Star-Lord has always been the main character. Let's talk about that first. He's always, not really, it's always a team, but he's sort of been the focal point. How'd you feel about him in this movie?
I mean, it made sense that he wasn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, he still is, but
he still is. Yeah.
They very much focused more on the team and Rocket, and it made sense. I mean, the first one's really about him and forming the team. Actually, the second one's more about him. I think the first one is probably more about Gamora. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Groot.
And forming the team.
Yeah, the second one's really all about him. But yeah, I mean,
he really sold it, man. On the we've been like the broken up boyfriends before. Not saying we were each other's broken up boyfriends. I'm saying we've been that guy in the relationship. And I'm gonna say right now, Chris Pratt sold it, man. The dialogue between him and Gamora, probably some of my favorite moments in this movie. Watching him be sort of sad and pathetic, because I was like, that's real life. Like, that's coming from a real thing that someone felt.
Well, not only that, I mean, shit, in his situation, it's not like she broke up with him. She died and then came back to life as a different person. Yeah.
The way he explained it to that receptionist in the elevator here, he basically recapped everything in that. It was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
He said, he even owns up to pretty much ruining everything by attacking Thanos. You know, that's the thing that everyone's talking about. Star-Lord shouldn't have did this. And he's like, yeah, I did do that. That'd suck. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I'm really glad that they hinted at Gamora, I guess, at least seeing that the future her, she's seeing what the future her saw in Star-Lord, even if that's not what she wants. They hinted at that, and I'm glad they left it at a hint. Like, they let her still be her own character instead of just forcing it into, oh, she's just the same Gamora now.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Because she's plucked out of time before she's even, like, I can't remember if she's against Thanos at that point. Like, she's already thinking of betraying.
It happened, like, right then. It's like, when Thanos attacks, she basically leaves to save her sister, and that's it. And then Thanos dies. And so she's kind of like right there at realizing that Thanos was a bad guy.
Whereas like in the first Guardians, and like I said, it's fresh in my mind. I watched it like 2 hours ago. So in the first Guardians, like she falls for Star-Lord real fast. Like,
yeah.
Unnaturally fast. Movie convenience fast.
And she's a hero. Like, she's all about building the team up and saving people at that point too. And this, she's not there.
Right. Well, yeah, I will say in the first one, like, she's trying to sell that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know that it's what it is. And trying to sell that the stone to somebody to get away from Thanos, not necessarily be like a superhero. But yeah, I was glad that she was like, because obviously when you tell somebody that they're a certain way, they're usually resistant anyway. So now she's doubling down on not liking him.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know who he is. And he's always like, oh, we were in love. And it's like,
I love you. Dude, I love you so much. I love you so much. Like, when they were the scene where they all have all their Space Odyssey suits. And that might be my favorite scene in the entire movie. And he switches to blue and he's like, I love you so much. It's like, just starts pouring his heart out, and she calls him Quinn. And I'm like, oh my God. And then everyone's like, hey man, we can hear you.
I was just hoping it would stop on its own.
Yeah. And then like the explanation of the buttons, that's something that would have annoyed me in like the second movie, but I thought it was so funny. It was so stupid, but I thought it was so funny.
I think that's the only weak point I ever see. And I also think it's funny, but I can see why some people are like, I do not like James Gunn's writing because of moments like that. They're like, too much.
But that's kind of like how we talk, though. You know, we go on tangents and it ends up being something stupid, but in an entertaining way. And I think that's why I end up liking it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think in the end, her, you know, finally coming to terms like, okay, yes, I am resistant to this and it's not going to be what he wants, but at least he is like a person of quality.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, she can see it. She can see, okay, yeah. And then they even have that interaction at the end where they say, I'm just so glad it didn't turn into like a kiss moment. She was like, I bet we had fun together.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And I thought that was freaking, I thought it was perfect, man.
Yeah. It's great for him to move on.
And even she didn't even embrace the team and become a guardian again. It was like everybody was hugging at the end and she walked off. I was like, I think that's perfect, man.
Yeah. I especially appreciate that. You know, at one point he's like, the Ravagers aren't your family. But then at the end, we do see that they embrace her. Yeah. So. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Glenn could just go and I would never care again.
He didn't need to be in it.
Yeah, I don't care for that character anymore.
No.
I love Cosmo.
The interaction between him and Cosmo, the bad dog stuff, was great.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I thought that was great.
But they made him like, they made him all chunky.
Like skinny fat.
Yeah, it just made me think of Dr. Seuss. I don't know why. But yeah, I love Cosmo, obviously. Some of the big issues that a lot of people had, not myself, I didn't really bother me. But when you think about the main enemies of the game and like this army he produces, their experiments just like these other things were, and they're like fucking monstrous, man, like body horror Cronenberg shit.
Yeah,
and so that was a little hard. In some parts, especially like the pig lady, because she had this sweet voice and he just snaps her head off and then carries her around, you know, that kind of stuff bothered me a little bit.
Yeah,
but not, I don't know. It's more because I feel bad for the animal that it was.
Adam Warlock continued to be the weakest part of the movie for me. And again, I'm not even saying that it's bad. I just think he was constantly flying full force at the Guardians, and that was it. That was his thing in the movie. And he's dumb Superman, essentially.
Right.
And it was fine. We needed him at the end to save the day, kind of. He grew on me. He did grow on me. I will say that. But, like, it was badass to see him show up. And I was genuinely like, are they about to kill all of these characters at the beginning where he just beat the shit out of all of them? I was like, this is the movie. James Gunn's about to kill all of them. And then we're going to have to deal with Star-Lord was drunk, dropped the ball, and now he has to deal with that. I was like, this is going to be hard to watch.
Yeah.
But luckily,
well,
Nebula had the T-1000 arm.
Even seeing, like, you know, Groot, when he blew up in the first one, he's like a whole new Groot, right? Everybody's like, it's not the same Groot. It's not the same Groot. But, you know, it took him forever to come back. But in this, he comes back pretty quickly from just the head. But yeah, he just shatters him into a head.
What do you think about this Groot in this movie?
By the end of it, I loved it. I'm not a huge fan of, like, linebacker Groot. But it's mainly his face, and I have the action figure, and the face is really bad on the action figure. But otherwise, I don't mind.
Yeah, I liked him for the most part. I really liked his like giant kaiju mode. That was freaking perfect. He was absolutely perfect at the end, and big chunky Groot.
Oh man, it's great, like ancient Groot.
Yeah, but there was one scene where I was like, "Hey, Dad."
When he said it.
No, at the end where he talks.
Oh, okay. So I have a theory about
it. I love you guys. I was like, dumb.
So I talked to Nicole about that. She was like, I didn't like that. And I'm like, he's not speaking.
Yeah.
That's
how I rationalized with myself, but I was also like, why?
It is. stupid, but he's not actually, I mean, he says we are Groot in the fucking first one, but anyway.
Yeah, I think it takes away from that.
Yeah, he's not, in my opinion, he's not speaking. It's, but we are now part of the family.
I got it. Yeah, and so I rationalized that myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumb. I just hate Vin Diesel's voice.
Yeah. I love you guys. We're
family. You guys are my family. I'm walking out of the theater.
Yeah, that part, I will agree. If you're not looking at it like that, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Worst part of
the but I the way I rationalize it, like you were just saying, is like, you know, Gamora starts understanding him because she's becoming part of the crew. So I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't we understand him now?
Yeah, after three movies. And what do you have any complaints about the movie? I know you really enjoyed it.
Man, my complaints about that movie are when they kill all those animals.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that had to happen. And it was extremely sad seeing little Rocket fucking bawl his eyes out.
Like, that was a rough scene. My wife and my son were, and my wife took my son to the bathroom. And I was like, man, you guys are honestly, I'm glad you guys didn't see it, because my wife would have been crying and my son would have been freaking out. That was a hard scene to watch.
Yeah.
And even the reaction of the High Evolutionary when Rocket was just broken, it was sinister, you know. Yeah. So watch his reaction to another creature, something that you pretty much gave life to, be shattered like that. And it was a hard watch, man.
Yeah, at least they embraced, they got that one moment.
Yeah,
to me, I really wish that, I know this would have been a stupid plot point, but all I would have wished is that there was like a hole in the roof so the otter could have seen the sky at least once.
Like, while she was dying.
Yeah, that's all I wanted. God, that was so hard.
Yeah, it was hard.
It makes me sad every time I think about it. Very depressed. Yeah, it was hard. But what's amazing, I mean, what sucks is like he basically says, Rocket, like, you're not ever going to be outside of this place. You're a failed experiment. You just, there's only one thing valuable about you, and I'm about to take it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole idea that he needs to escape, fuck, I hated that. And when I say I hated it, like, it's a necessary plot point. It made him who he is.
And just, like you said earlier, we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, you had to. Watching him escape was cool. That was a cool scene, man. Watching him escape and then pilot that. I mean, that was well done. CGI overload, but it was done well. You followed it, and it looked great, and you were still reeling from the emotion of the last scene.
Yeah, and I will say, for anyone that hasn't seen it, that didn't care about the spoilers, there is like this kind of like heavenly retribution thing, which is nice. I mean, at least he had that part in there, and that made me feel a little bit better, but it was still, God.
Yeah, it was rough.
I would say another rough part that, you know, there's with so many movies, there's like mass destruction that no one cares about. But with this, the High Evolutionary, he creates the Animan. It's like basically it's Earth 2 from freaking Spider-Man Unlimited. I didn't know if that was a thing before that.
Counter Earth. Yeah.
But he's got all these animal people who are, they're living just like humans. They're exactly like humans.
They're terrible. They're terrible, just like people.
Yeah, so there's like people that live in the suburbs, they're great, and then there's people like doing drugs in the city, and he's like, yeah, I failed, so this planet's fucking, I'm blowing this shit up.
And like, no villain dialogue, no big speech, he just starts blowing it up.
Yeah, as soon as he thinks he has Rocket, right?
Yeah.
That's when he's like, yeah, all right, we're leaving.
Yeah. And yeah, that's crazy.
That whole situation, because they're having so much trouble getting off the planet.
Yeah.
But seeing like those families just like bomb.
Damn. Yeah, that was crazy.
I did like seeing Star-Lord actually start to lose his shit, like on that dude that he uses as a Austin Powers like landing pad.
It kills that guy. There's lots of cool parts, man. That you asked me what I thought about the movie, and initially I told you I thought personally the ending was weak. I don't mean that I think it's bad. I thought this movie was a great ending to the trilogy. I really did. And the trailers just had everyone thinking, like, who's going to die? Who's going to die? Who's going to die? And I was honestly relieved that no one died. It is going to be a little sad that these characters are just not going to be in anything else, because I know Drax or Batista doesn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but they kind of, they all got a good send off. I'm sure Mantis will pop back up, you know, or maybe they'll have her gain some sort of sovereignty like she has in the game.
Yeah.
Where she's sort of like a priestess and they people go to her for answers.
Yeah. I would love to see Rocket again. I can't imagine it's that expensive. I wonder how much they paid Bradley Cooper, because he didn't have a lot of lines.
Yeah. I mean, but when he did, he delivered it. He really did.
God, man. He did. Maybe that's why he booked Bradley Cooper for Rocket Raccoon was for this movie.
Yeah.
And hearing little baby Rocket talk and, like, you know, yeah, that, and you're probably right that it brings me back to trauma of being a kid and having a shitty dad. It's like,
yeah, that's what I thought too.
Being yelled at and being a kid that, you know, God.
Yeah.
I know I've said that a lot. God, just like I've said that a lot. But yeah, you know, it was a fairly happy ending for everybody. Melancholy.
Well, I just think, like, we had this huge dramatic space battle. It ends in a photo finish. I really, really thought. This, they killed Star-Lord. I was like, whoa, yes, this came out of nowhere. Everybody caught everybody off guard, I'm sure. And especially when his face ballooned up, I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit of James Gunn, like, trauma.
Yeah.
One thing I will complain about for real that pulled me out of this movie was the stupid creation of man thing that Adam Warlock did. I don't know why that was in there.
Why? And it was like for a split second. It wasn't even like a prominent thing.
Yeah, it was. Ugh.
So it was stupid. Weird. I didn't understand it.
But, you know, seeing like Cosmo do her thing and then they go back and get the animals.
Well, one part was weird that kind of took me out of it. They have this powerful moment and then they're bringing over the animals, which is great. But then you have this monkey jump over and just claw this lady's face to death. I'm just like,
oh, she didn't die.
I mean, but like, why do that? Why put that even in there?
I saw Derek's review and he had mentioned that too. And it didn't really take me out of it because she wasn't like bloodied up, you know, it's just kind of freaking out. And I'm like, shit, how many times have you tried to help a stray dog and it freaks out and growls at you? I'm like, yeah, all
right. That sounds weird. Also, I just think what I was getting at is we had this big, huge cinematic moment and then the dust settles for a split second and they're like, I quit.
Yeah.
Which it was just very sudden and I get it. And they kind of hinted at it at the beginning. Once they started talking about his grandpa out of nowhere, I was like, that's it. He's not. He's going to be gone.
I saw
why would Mantis give a fuck about his grandpa all of a sudden?
Well, it's just kind of funny because I've seen people online that were like, oh, now, how convenient. Yeah, it's like, well, why would he talk about that? He didn't talk about his past at all. And she's like, wait, you have a grandpa?
You just watched the first one, right? Did his grandpa, was he in it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he really pushed him and screamed at him?
It was, I can see where that would be blown out of proportion by a child. So he says, the mom says, hold my hand or grab my hand, but dies. He's freaking out because he's like scared because his mom's sick. She dies before he can grab her hand. And so he's like, no, 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 no. You know, the grandpa picks him up and is like, you know, Peter, like, stay here. And then goes back in. And then Peter runs out and is immediately abducted.
And then abducted, yeah. Yeah, sad stuff. I just thought it was weird that they were like, I quit. And then everyone else was like, yeah, me too. Which I get it. All that sucked. I'd quit too. I'd be like, fuck this. I'm out.
Yeah. It seems realistic. Yeah. You know, you have a shitty traumatic job. Like, you know, we've been through a lot of stuff. Maybe it's time to like figure it out.
Especially Mantis. Mantis, for me, was the realest response out of all of them. She was like, my entire life, I did whatever Ego wanted, and then I joined the Guardians, and I did whatever you guys wanted. I kind of wanted to just do my own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
The action, the main hallway action sequence is probably the best action sequence I've ever seen on film.
Best hallway scene in the MCU, without a doubt, not even close. Nothing comes close. That was badass.
So good. It was so good. So
watching them work together, man. Oh my gosh. That's it. Even, you know, even if they're not going to be a team anymore, just having that hallway scene was like, oh, that's the perfect Guardians of the Galaxy team right there.
And you get the same, you get a lot of the same with Groot and Star-Lord just on the bridge of the ship. But
yeah,
it really, that those were the moments where I'm like, this is the game. This is why I love that game so much. It's like, yeah, shit like this. But that was great. Honestly, one thing I want to talk about, which I feel like would probably, and I'm sure there's someone complaining about the CGI somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Were like the retro sci-fi vibes with a lot of it. Like you said, the 2001 Space Odyssey suits. Like, I loved every bit of that. And how kind of, how a little corny, like obviously they're on wires. Like, it was like that retro sci-fi shit that I love, man.
It was gorgeous. So, I loved it too. The like skin planet, the flesh planet, the flesh suits. That was a little much for me. That's weird. And it was gross. Like, they cut into it. It was just like, blah.
Yeah.
Definitely James Gunn.
Yeah. And the tardigrade suits for the security guys.
Yeah.
The only other complaint I have, which kind of started with the Christmas special, is Nowhere. So in Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Nowhere is huge, expansive.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like the inside goes on forever. In this, there's literally a city block.
Downtown. Yeah. It's just downtown, just like in the Christmas special, like you said. I agree. They
probably just filmed that on the same day, but
yeah, I agree. It does seem way smaller than it did in the first one. Even in Infinity War, when they go to fight Thanos, it's huge.
Yeah, well, he does fuck it up pretty good though.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he destroys most of it. One thing that I did like that I didn't mention is watching Nebula get just rocked, especially like the first time she gets her face pretty much punched off. And then in that hallway scene, she gets rocked.
Yeah,
that was punched and like bent over. And then she still keeps fighting. I'm like, that's badass, man.
Yeah, she's invulnerable.
Yeah,
like you would literally have to cut her whole head off.
And even then, she would be alive, I would assume.
Yeah, that was really cool. I remember Nicole being like, whoa! Nicole's reactions are like 100 times my reaction. So anytime. But honestly, yeah. I mean, the whole movie, I really enjoyed.
I enjoyed it as well. I didn't want to tell you guys that I didn't like it. Definitely light years beyond the second one. What'd you think about the end credit scenes?
I liked them because, honestly, Guardians has always stood out to me as its own kind of thing. I know that they all feed into whatever, but
yeah.
What I loved about the first one is that besides the Infinity Stone thing, it was just a movie of space people. And so with the end credit scenes, mostly with the first one, I love that there's a new team. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I posted a picture with Rocket, and I said, like, word, because that's the fucking final word of the movie, basically.
And I got Flyavel. I wonder what they're going to do with that character's origins.
Who?
The little girl that's on the team.
That's what I was wondering. Who is that supposed to be?
Captain Marvel's daughter.
Oh, okay.
So I'm interested how they're going to MCU-ify it. Because that character doesn't exist technically. I know she does, but I don't know how they're going to do it. I can see where people will complain about the end credit scenes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I absolutely loved them. And I was so relieved, especially the Star-Lord one. I thought it was genius. Now, I know I know a lot of people probably won't think that. I know Chris Pratt has – people hate Chris Pratt for some reason. I think he's freaking hilarious. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's coming from literally fighting a space god.
Yeah.
Eating Magic Spoon. It's a great brand recognition.
Yeah.
With his grandpa about to mow someone's lawn. It is perfect. It's
yeah, so it funny. Was perfect. And just like, and I was like, man, this is it. That's sad. This is the end of Star-Lord. But then it says the big real reveal is the legendary Star-Lord will return, which I thought that was cool.
That was cool, but I kind of was disappointed by that. Like, I really wanted him to be done. I thought it would have been great.
It kind of leaves it up, though. Like, they didn't say when. They didn't say how. You know, someone else could be Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde was Star-Lord for a little while.
That's true. But, you know, the first end credit scene. But it brings it back to a lot of the problems that I have with, like, animals and whatever, like they're protecting this village from these wolf lamb things. I couldn't really get a good read on what they were supposed to be. I'm like, damn, man, maybe they're just scared of something.
They're the wildebeest that killed Mufasa.
I think
killed those things.
I think even Adam Warlock says something like, man, you know, they're just kind of, he says something along the lines of like,
yeah,
they're just here.
Should,
like,
yeah, well, should we be killing them?
Yeah. Well, we got to protect the people.
Yeah. I just thought they were, I was so relieved at the end that it wasn't like incoming message from Captain Marvel or Wong's here on the moon now. I'm just like, I was so relieved that it wasn't, it was a standalone movie. It really was. They reference the main world and they reference events that happen outside of it, but it was really, it somehow maintained a standalone thing.
You can almost tell that this movie was supposed to come out 2 years ago.
Yeah, before Thor: Love and Thunder, I think.
Yeah, it was. This movie connects closer to Infinity War and shit like that, like Spider-Man, the second Spider-Man. I can never remember those titles, and I know they're all like Home something, but I can never remember. No, the one before that.
Homestyle.
Yeah, Far From Home. Homestyle. Home Slice. It's closer to that where the world is still kind of reeling from the situation than any of the stuff. I got to be honest. Like, I think I loved it so much because it still feels like that part of the phase. Because everything else, man, I know I sound like a broken record just like everyone else, but it's just been globbity goop. Nothing good. Loki was the only thing that I enjoyed out of this phase. Well, She-Hulk too, but I just mean anything that's like connecting to this.
Well, I like Shang-Chi a lot until the end. They were like, also, those are alien rings.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dumb!
I forget about Shang-Chi because it was an outlier.
It was such an outlier. It was kind of the in-between. It wasn't really connected until, if you don't count that, wasn't really connected. It was kind of its own universe, which I just think they should get back to building out these individual universes.
Yeah.
And then like lightly sprinkling in that they're all connected instead of immediately building up the next big thing.
Yeah, they're just, it's, I don't know. And Jonathan Majors, poor, I don't know. I don't know what to think about him right now either. We'll find out. But
I was thinking, if they do recast Jonathan Majors, they never gave High Evolutionary a name. It could just be a variant of Kang. And then he could kind of fill that spot.
What did you...
You know, black people all look the same, so...
What did you think about that one... There was one quote from Peter Quill when he's talking to the High Evolutionary. He says, you RoboCop looking at...
You know I loved it. I pointed at the screen like Peter Griffin. He said the thing.
Yeah, I kind of wondered. I was like, I loved it too, but I was like, is this too self-referential? But yeah, it was fantastic.
No, it's crazy to see. I felt seen. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
It's crazy to see what Rocket did to him. Ugh, golly.
I love that. I love that they gave it a reason why he had that. And it wasn't just like that he looked dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing that I looked up because I was like, continuity. Let's see. When was Peter Quill taken? When would RoboCop come out? And it was. RoboCop came out in 87 and Peter Quill was taken in 88.
He saw it. He saw it in theaters. Yeah. And yeah, that's all I could think about every time I saw him on screen. I was like, oh man, he looks like fucking Murphy without his mask on.
Yeah.
He was good though. We can talk about this movie all night, all day. We enjoyed it. Of course, yeah. I thought there were some weak moments. It's hard. This movie is so big. There's so many moving parts. I would be a fool to say that I think that this movie wasn't great. I'm just saying there are things that I'm like, nah, take that out. Kraglin, take him out. Kill him. Give the whistle to Rocket. Or the arrow.
God, one final thing. That is corny as it is for everybody to be dancing and shit. I was like so choked up at the end with the fucking...
That scene ran a little long, but I...
Yes.
I did appreciate it.
I was just the Florence and the Machine song and like just everybody's finally relieved to be free. Like Rocket doesn't have that hanging over him anymore.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. I don't know. This is what... So
it was a happy ending.
Yeah, I don't go see movies in the theaters more than once, usually. But this is the only one I'm like, I think I have to go watch it again.
So I don't see movies in theaters either more than once. I would see this one. I'm not going to, but I would. I really don't watch a lot of movies for a second time. And I don't know if that's a problem that I have. And I would watch this one. I think I'm definitely going to watch this one again.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
our we liked thoughts. It. We liked it. We want to know what you guys think. Hit us up. Let us know. We'll be back in a few. We'll be back in a few weeks. I'll put the exact date in the show notes so that this episode can stay evergreen. I don't want to put. We're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, at the Louisville Mall on June. We'll be back in a few weeks, guys, with our regularly scheduled episodes. I can't wait for you guys to hear some of the books that we've been reviewing. That's it.